Mark chapter 10, let's read verse 46 again. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Last Wednesday, I had a service with some brethren from South Africa. And at one point in the message, I said to them, I brought up blind Bartimaeus, and I said to them, oh, I love the story of blind Bartimaeus. I love it so much. And I told them, we're going to have to look at that soon. So here we are. This is as soon as I could get to it. Pretty much everyone knows this story. I would think most people have heard the story of blind Bartimaeus. It's a very commonly known account in the scripture. But it blesses my heart every time I hear it mentioned and every time I hear it preached on. And here's the reason why. It's because I relate to it so much. You say, relate to it. Well, Gabe, you're not blind. Oh, yes, I am. I really hope everyone will hear me this morning. I hope everyone will hear this morning. I sincerely have something to say to us. In my flesh, in my natural condition before God, I am blind. Spiritually speaking, I am blind. I'm telling you the truth. I am being very honest with you. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild. John Newton said that. I totally agree. Well, Gabe, you're not a beggar. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I have been so well cared for physically in this life, and my family has been so well cared for physically in this life, but spiritually before God, if God leaves me alone, and this is what I just very, very urgently want us to know, this is what I need to say, and I pray we will get a hold of. If God leaves me to myself, if He just leaves me alone, I know where I am, and I'll know where I'll be. I will be lost, I will be helpless, I will be by the wayside, not in it, not in the way, by the wayside, blind and begging. And you will too. You may not know it yet. You know, some have been given this spiritual knowledge and some have not. But either way, if God leaves us to ourselves, that's where we'll be, because that's where we are. In our natural condition, that's where we are. It's possible that I may relate to blind Bartimaeus more than anybody in the scripture. But that gives me hope, because that's who our Lord healed. Right here, out of all of the people who were here, out of everybody that was there. Look at verse 46. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, he passed right through the city. You see that? He passed right through the city.
Poor Jericho. That's
the first thing that came into my mind when I read that. I thought, poor Jericho. You remember in the Old Testament that the Lord told Joshua to besiege, that means attack and destroy, Jericho many years before this in the Old Testament. I know you've heard the story of the walls of Jericho falling down. The Lord told Joshua, and that's the Old Testament name for Jesus. It's the same name. That story is a picture of the conquering victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that all pictures and points to. The Lord told Joshua to have seven priests with seven ram's horns, and the ark of the Lord and all the people. He said, you go around the walls of that city blowing those ram horns one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he said, you go around that city seven times blowing the trumpets of God. And on the seventh time, he said, you tell the people to shout because the Lord has given you the city. And on that seventh time, when the people shouted, all the walls fell down. And Israel ran into that city and they slew every man and woman and beast, old and young. Not one soul was spared except for a harlot named Rahab. One soul. One soul. A covenant had been made with one soul. And every soul that was with her in her house, every soul that she represented and held with her in the safety of her house. And again, what a picture of particular mercy that is. What a picture of particular redemption that is. But here's the thing about it. The whole city was destroyed. The whole city was destroyed except for the promise of mercy that was shown to one. Is that not mind-blowing? If you really stop and think about that. Poor Jericho. And it was the same situation right here. The Lord passed them by. The Lord passed them by. And to this very day, and I feel like I'm, the word went out, the word of God went out, and back in, it's even recorded in the word, some said, these are hard sayings. I feel like I'm telling some hard sayings. And it's sad, but it's the truth. To this very day, the Lord still passes men and women by. He still passes men and women by. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy. He has compassion on whom He will have compassion. And He came to the city of Jericho and He passed right through it. Why would He do that? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ do that? Well, number one, it's because He's God and He has the right to do whatever He wants to do. It's because not one soul in that city deserved His mercy. And that's because every soul in that city was a sinner against Him, including Bartimaeus. Including Bartimaeus. Verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Bartimaeus. Bar means the son of, when you see that word. It means the son of Timaeus. There are other people here, but there are two main characters in this story. The son of Timaeus and the son of David. Two main sons, two main characters, the son of Timaeus and the son of David. And do you know what the name Timaeus means? It means unclean, impure, foul, polluted, and defiled. That was Bartimaeus, and that's me and you. That's me and you. I want us to understand something of God's holiness. As we stand in our natural sinful condition before God, I want us to understand something of God's holiness. God is so holy. And what the word holy means is he must do what's right. That's what it means. He must do what's just. He must do what is in accordance with the law. He is holy, and he's so holy. He is such a strict judge that breaking one law, and I'd love to take the time to take you through the scriptures and just show you scripture after scripture, and I will if you want me to. He's so holy that to break one is to break the law. If you break one, you have broken his law. And to break one law in his eyes is to be completely ruined. Totally ruined. It's to be a lawbreaker. Once you break one law, in his eyes, you're a lawbreaker. You're a sinner. I was driving over here this morning, and I was late, and that was pushing me a little harder than normal. But I can't do the speed limit on John B. Dennis in front of Eastman Chemical Company to literally save my life. And I looked down. It's a 45, and I was doing 60. You know, they could almost haul me to jail for that. And I told everybody in the car, it's official. I'm a sinner. Well, you're just breaking a speed limit. Tell that to God. God is holy. Now, I'm not holy, and you're not holy. Christoph said to me, he said, the sad thing is that I don't care. I don't mind that you're doing 60 and a 45. And that's because we're not holy. Does that make sense? But God is holy. And to break one law makes a person to be a sinner before him. We look pretty good to each other. I'll just go ahead and tell you, you all look very nice to me. We look good to each other in each other's eyes. But before God, let me just tell you what these pages say. Because a lot of people really don't know what those pages say. But these pages say that in the eyes of God, we are wicked, ruined, depraved. You know what the word actually calls us? Ungodly. Sinners. That's what it calls us. And I have to be honest with you and tell you, that's what I am. I don't want to be. I want to be a good person. I want to be a good husband and father and friend and brother and law-abiding citizen. But the needle wasn't lying this morning. I'm a sinner. And so are you. Isaiah 64 says, we are all as an unclean thing. And that word unclean, right there in Isaiah 64, that's the Old Testament. Okay, we're here in the New Testament. That is literally the exact same translated word as Timaeus. Same word. We're all as Timaeus. We're all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses before God. Righteousness is good deeds. Holiness and sanctification is purity in being and character inside. Righteousness is good deeds without. All of our righteousnesses in the eyes of God are filthy rags. That was Bartimaeus, and that's you and me, and it's sad, isn't it? That's so sad. That's just so sad. Isaiah 1 says, in the eyes of God, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, you know what it says we are? Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Revelation 3 says we are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked in the eyes of God Almighty. That was Bartimaeus, and I hate to say it, but that's you and me. According to the Word of God, every soul here, starting with me, is a son of Timaeus. I'm looking at a bunch of sons of Timaeus. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David. You know what the name David means? We know what Timaeus means. We know what we are in our sinful flesh before God. But the name David means beloved. This is my beloved son, the son of David. If any soul is going to be welcomed and accepted by God, it is only going to be in the beloved. Christ Jesus, the beloved. Verse 46, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He cried out because he knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. That's why he cried out. Do we know who Jesus of Nazareth is? Have we heard the fame of him? Have we really heard the fame of this man? Turn over to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments and those which were possessed with devils. And those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. The fame of him went throughout all Syria and everywhere else too. The fame of him. Have you heard of this man, Jesus of Nazareth? He heals sick people. I mean, he heals truly sick people. How about us? Do any of us here have the sickness of a loathsome disease? Not just a disease of the flesh. Everybody here suffers from diseases from the flesh. I'm talking about a disease of the soul. You know, every sickness in the Scripture, every physical sickness in the Scripture represents the sickness of the soul, the sin sickness of the soul. Look at Luke 5 with me. Luke 5, verse 12, it says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city behold, a man full of leprosy. You know, leprosy was something that just consumed the whole body. It's a physical sickness that represents the spiritual condition of the soul, the sickness of sin that has just consumed men and women. But think about this, okay? Think about this scenario. Verse 12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He said, don't tell anybody. And that man ran and told everybody. And that's what we're doing. You're looking at a man who was healed. Can you imagine when a person who had leprosy, okay, all of these things were real events. These were real moments, real stories of real people. And they happened and they were recorded for our spiritual learning, to learn something of Christ and to learn something of salvation. But can you imagine when a person who had leprosy, we don't really have that much anymore. But, can you imagine when a person who had leprosy heard that there was a man who with one touch could heal leprosy? Can you imagine the hope that would enter that person thinking, I wonder if he can heal me? Can you imagine the desire in that diseased one to get to him and see if he would heal me? I need to get to him. Can you imagine the searching? I mean the searching. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Can you imagine the seeking and the searching? Where is he? What did you say his name was again? His name is Jesus of Nazareth. And he was here, but you just missed him. He came into town and he healed one man right over there by the pool of Siloam. And then he left town. Well, where did he go? Well, he appeared to be going to the next town. Thank you. I'm going to follow after him. Ma'am, have you seen a man named Jesus of Nazareth? Seen him? He just healed me of my issue of blood. I was sick for 12 years. Stand back. I have leprosy. Do you think he can heal me? Well, I don't know. You're going to have to talk to him about that. But that man over there was deaf all of his life. And I saw Jesus of Nazareth stick his fingers in his ears and say, Ephatha. And he can hear. That man right over there had a whole legion of devils inside of him. He lived in the tombs. Never had any clothes on. He cut himself. He was a lunatic. You see him right there? He's sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That man was lame. I'm telling you, that man has been laying there I've known that man for 50 years. He's been laying there. He was so lame. Look at him. He's leaping as a hart. And if you look right over there in that group of people, he is still here and he is still healing. Luke 5, verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him. He did something no man could do. You can't touch a leper. If you touch a leper, his disease will be transferred into you. Yes, I sure will. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, he was made whole. His leprosy departed from him. Now that's wonderful for a leper who can see the Lord Jesus and come to him where he was. But here's the problem for Bartimaeus. He was blind. He was blind. He could not see where the Lord Jesus was. He had no ability to come to him. All Bartimaeus could do was sit there blind, helpless, pitiful. That's all he could do. He sat there in the darkness of his own thoughts and his hopeless dreams. Hopeless dreams. Imagine the filth of this man. He sat on the highway side. He sat on the ground. You have horses and camels and dust. Imagine the dust that's been covering this man. Imagine the stench of this man. Imagine the rags he was wearing. Just imagine the pitiful state. All he could do was sit there in darkness and listen to the world pass by. That's all he could do. And based on this, you know that in the depths of his soul, his one desire was that somehow he could get to the Lord of glory. He knew, I'm a beggar. He knew that. That's the first thing a man or woman has to know before they're healed by the Savior. They have to know the reality of their condition. This man knew, I'm a beggar. But he knew and believed, if I only had the opportunity to beg from him, all my hope and all my desire would be to get to him, if I could only get to him. But I know that with me, in my condition, it's impossible. With me, this is impossible. Turn with me over to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 35 says, And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. What's going on? Why is there so many people passing by and what's all the commotion? Why is all the hollering? What's going on? Verse 37, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He started crying, Beloved, My Savior, my King, Jesus, thou Son of David. Please. Oh, I wouldn't even try to intimidate this man's cry, but can you only imagine the cry? Please. I mean true desperation. Today is the day of salvation. This is it, and this is it alone. Right now, one need, one thing is needful. Can you just hear this man crying? Crying. Please. Please pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Please don't pass me by. Even me, Lord, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Verse 39, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He was crying so loud, everybody started telling him, hush, hush, you're going to disturb the Savior, hush. And he kicked it into high gear. I need it and I need it now. I got to have it. I cannot let you pass by. Go back to Mark 10. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. You know what that means? You know what that just said? God stopped. That's what it means. Oh, he was crying, please, I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need grace. I need healing. I need salvation. And God Almighty stood still. God stopped what he was doing for this one man. Why would God do that? He would do it because it was purposed before the foundation of the world for him to do it. He would do it because he went that specific way on purpose just for that one specific man. He knew what he was doing before anybody else knew what he was doing. It's because the Father sent the Spirit into the heart of that man, drawing that sinner to Christ, giving him a desire and a need for the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he stopped. It's because Bartimaeus was one of his own. God stands still for every single one of his children. What the Savior did for Bartimaeus, this is what the Savior did for me and you. And this is what he'll do for every soul that he redeemed in his own blood. Verse 49 says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. They said, Bartimaeus, you. He's still crying. They said, wait, Bartimaeus, you. Me? Yes, he's calling you. Wretched, poor, miserable you. He commanded you to come to him. Every soul that hears the command is going to have the same response Bartimaeus did. Verse 50 says, and he casting away his garment. And that's what every soul will do. Bartimaeus cast away his old, filthy, wretched, vile garment. The first thing that a sinner who comes to Christ will do is cast away his old, wretched, vile self-righteousness. His own miserable, sinful covering. His own covering of his works. And it's because Christ will give him a new one. He'll put his spotless, pure robe of righteousness on him. Verse 50 says, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want to see you. Seeing Christ is salvation. Seeing Christ for who he truly is, not who men think he is. Not who we have been wrongly told that he is. Seeing Christ as he has declared himself to be in the Word of God is salvation. He cried, Lord, save me. What do you want me to do for you? I want you to save me. I want you to heal me, restore me. By your mercy, by your grace, for your own name's sake, you're my Savior, you're my King. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. At the command, the healing is complete. He didn't say, now here's your sight, but you're going to have to go to an eye doctor? Optometrist or something like that. You're going to now have to go to an optometrist, and he's going to give you a series of different spectacles with all these different prescriptions. And slowly, over about 6 months, you should start to notice healed, finished, done. And that's how it is with God. Finished and done. And after he was healed and received his sight, you know, he can now go wherever he wants to go. He can do whatever he wants to do. What did our brother Bartimaeus want to do? Look at verse 52, the end of it. It says, he followed the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. That's what he wanted to do. He followed the Savior. That's what every saved sinner will do. Now, I think I've been 40 minutes. I don't do that. Normally, I'm done 10 minutes ago. But I'm done now. Let me just tell you this. Please listen to me right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing by right now. I mean it. I'm not joking. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he said, I'm in the midst of you. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing by right now. I'm saying with confidence, he is still here and he is still healing. If in your heart you need him, if you cannot leave this world without him, in your heart, silently in your heart, cry out to him. Cry out to him. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, my Savior and my King, my God and my Lord, have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. Wash my sin-sick soul in your blood. Heal me of all my uncleanness and let me follow you. If you have that desire in your heart, it's because the Father put it there. And if the Father put it there, the Savior will stand still for you and he will call you and he will heal you and you will be glad. And you will glorify and praise God Almighty the rest of your days for it. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Every soul who cries that from the heart will hear, rise, he's calling you. Amen.